All right.
Oh, cool. It's a recording in progress. Being a...
My friend's okay because Father Bill
I know.
Canceled
it. There's a chance I got him.
So I'm like, I got it.
So earlier I said to you, Merry Christmas. And you're like, oh, what? But this is the 12th day of Christmas. It's still Christmas. Tomorrow is the Epiphany. So you can take your white men and move them, you know, over to your nativity set. So, but this is our last chance to say Merry Christmas for 2025. Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yep.
So the 12th day. And so you see, I'm all up here by myself. And as Amanda pointed out, I have all kinds of places I can sit up there.
Yeah.
I got all kinds of rooms that can spread out. Father Bill and Miranda are celebrating their wedding anniversary, so they like to just... This, yeah, what year is it? 45 years! Right? So they went to this distant land called Waynesville. And Father David had to work at the VA, so he's doing a service there, I think. So we've split it all up. So here I am, one priest surrounded by people. Because we're not people, are we?
We're all priests. Right?
There you go. We're all priests. That's it. I'm not alone. So, this is kind of a word that sort of just came to me on maybe Thursday night or Friday, because on Friday I went to Carolina Reserve and did the service there. I was not able to see Ron and Wanda because they were sick, unfortunately. But the word that I got there is this. It said, and I shared this with them in a very shortened version, Jesus didn't come here as a tourist. Okay? Now, we all know something about tourism, don't we? Living here in Western North Carolina. I mean, if no other reason, our baseball team is called the Asheville Tourists, right? But there are lots of things that attract people here, you know, tourists. And it's been this way all my life, you know, born and raised. And so I've been riding along behind tourists all my life, ever since I got a driver's license. Fillmore House, the mountains, Grove Park Inn, architecture, now beer, and then, you know, that's a later thing. Dining, Blue Ridge Parkway, and now, even later, wreckage. People can come to see. Before the storm, as of the 2020 census, and that's the most recent kind of stuff I could find, tourism accounted for 20% of Buncombe County's economy. And people say, oh, that's a lot. Yeah, it's true. But one of the funny things that I noticed in looking at that is, in that census, of the top 10 largest employers in the county, five of them are government.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting? And actually, only one of them is tourism. That's the Biltmore Company. It made the top 10. But, of course, the top employer in Buncombe County is Mission Hospital. But then the second after that, and I still have that list here somewhere. Let me just pull that up for you. It's just interesting to know. Let's see. Buncombe County School Systems, number two. Ingalls Markets, number three.
Yep.
Got that. Biltmore Company, number four. Number five, the state of North Carolina. Number six, Buncombe County. Number seven, the Asheville VA Medical Center. Still, more government stuff, right? So the answer out of all that, and oh, by the way, number eight was the city of Asheville. Number nine is Walmart. And number 10, AB Tech. Interesting. Huh? So the take-home message from that is get a job with the government. All right. So that was, again, kind of just an aside. But, you know, since the storm, there's been a lot of uncertainty about how the economy is going to go, obviously, and that tourism economy. Everybody's, you know, a little worried about how it's been hurt, you know, and they're not sure how things are going to go, especially the spring and the summer of this coming year. You know, will it be the same? There have been all kinds of things like, you know, well, but those lower level employees are not going to be able to pay their rent. They're not going to be able to, you know, get the living wage that they need. And so they're going to be moving away just because so many, you know, businesses had to close. And that they have already moved away, perhaps, by this time. So, again, there's all this uncertainty about that. And the next year may see a little downturn in Asheville's economy. It's very possible, you know. The thing that you got to take home from that is that, you know, all those things that people like to come here to see are still going to be here. The mountains aren't going away. The Blue Ridge Parkway is still going to be here. Biltmore should still be here unless something strange happens. And the same with Grove Park Inn. You know? But people will start coming back and tourism's going to recover. You know, it's been here a long time. You know, my father came here as a tourist in 1931. So, and you know, he wasn't the first, okay? So, there have been a lot of tourists. But Jesus wasn't one of them. He's not a turnip. You know, some critics of Christianity would say, you know, he's somebody who may even believe that, you know, God put things on autopilot at some point in the past and just said, oh, let's just throw them out there and see how they do. We'll throw them some food and water and see if they grow. And, you know, one of those gods that doesn't interfere in our lives, right? They just kind of let us go for ourselves and see how we get along. Maybe just sitting back and watching, or even worse, too busy to keep up with us and see how things are going here. And certainly there are a lot of people who believe that God isn't involved in our lives here. But even if they do believe that Jesus somehow came from God, perhaps they might think that God just said to Jesus, you know, why don't you go down there and check on that place I created? You know, just see how those humans are that I made. See how they're getting along. You know, take in the sights, have some cuisine, you know, get a feel for the place. Send me back some pictures, you know, something like that. And maybe you could even make an argument in this gospel that we heard today that the young Jesus visiting Jerusalem there, experiencing what it's like to be a teenager, for one thing, seeing the temple and the city, you know, and learning what it's like to be chastised by his mother, but then having to obey them and, you know, submit to them. Maybe he was just on a sightseeing mission, a recon mission, to find out what it's like to be one of us, right? And preparing a report for his father. But I'm here to tell you that that is not the case, and I know that you know that. Jesus was not a tourist. He did not come here just to check on things. Absolutely not. He is no tourist. And yes, he did come with a mission. That's true, but it wasn't reconnaissance. How do I know? Well, first of all, God knows everything that's been going on here ever since the beginning, the creation of the world. He knows exactly what we've been up to all of these years, both good and bad, and nothing is hidden from him. So there's number one reason that he didn't need to send somebody to check on us. And any reader of the Old Testament knows that God has been active throughout time. I mean, from Adam and Eve and their kids, you know, Cain, Abel, and Seth, to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the Moses, Israel, Judah, the judges, the kings, and finally Judah. He's been involved in humanity ever since its very beginning. And it leaves no doubt that God is actively engaged in this world with us. And that's just Old Testament. So God didn't have any need to send someone to reconnoiter the earth and send back a report. You know, that's the verb form of reconnaissance. Reconnoiter, you know, isn't that a great word? Love that word. So if he already knew how we were doing, he already knows everything, and he knows what it's been like here. And since we were getting along so swimmingly, I've been watching too much British TV, you can tell that's what they say, so swimmingly. Well, not really swimmingly have we been getting along. But then why did he send his only son through the torture of coming here to see us? Interesting. Because he already knew, right? Because, you know, coming here was torturous for Jesus. It was not pleasant. And, you know, we don't fully understand what it would be like for pure holiness to have to dwell in an unholy place. But the closest image I might be able to come up with for you is, say, having to stick your hand down into a septic tank and something dropped down in there. And then realizing you can't reach it and that you're going to have to get in the tank. And, in fact, it's over your head. And you're going to have to dive all the way down through the fluid to get to it on the bottom of the tank, right? Now, there's a Christmas message for you. The septic tank. because he is holy, purely holy. And to come to an unholy place, a place that is evil, that's sinful, that Satan has helped to ruin, would be painful and difficult and torturous. So we got pretty far off that tourist path, haven't we, you know? There aren't many people who take tours of the treatment plant, the water treatment plant, are there? I actually did take one time, I forget why, but it's a bad key. It's interesting. Yeah, lots of tomatoes growing there. Anyway, moving right along. That's all you're going to remember. I know. God knew exactly what it was like here before he stuck his hand in the septic tank. So why would he come down here? Well, as I said, he came here with a very specific mission, a definite purpose. Jesus came with the purpose of saving us. Something you already knew. To reach down into the bottom of the muck and pull us out. To take our hand. To call us his children. To experience the muck himself, as a matter of fact. What it feels like to be you and me. To save you. See, God already knew about us and our condition. And what was going on. And he had a relationship with some people here on the earth, some of those people I mentioned before, Moses, David, you know, some of the prophets, etc. But Jesus, and only Jesus, taught us and showed us through his actions that God is a father. It was not a part of the Old Testament. It's only one place that I found where God is equated with a father, and that is one who pities his children in the Psalms. Jesus taught us that, that God is our father. And like in the gospel today, young Jesus says, did you not know that I had to be in my father's house? Well, that's where it begins, right there. It wasn't Joseph's house he was talking about, was it? It was God's. And in 12 years old, he's showing them that he understands exactly who his father is and his mission for coming here. It's an entirely new concept for the Jews. They didn't think of God as father, just the almighty, all-powerful, and wrathful God. I've known, you know, some Jews who think, yeah, Moses is a pretty tough character. I mean, you know, he just had people wiped out. Well, it wasn't him, but they think of a wrathful God. And Jesus had to be in his father's house, didn't he? He truly is the Son of God. And Jesus taught through his ministry, once he reached his age of maturity, that he had a perfect father-son relationship. And he demonstrated what that looked like to us so that we could have that too. You see, even the best father-son relationship here on earth has its problems. It's not perfect. More and more people now have no father image or relationship at all. But he modeled what it's like between he, Jesus, and his father. And what it can be like for us too. See, he experienced the muck and what it feels like to be you and me. He learned what it was like to submit to people, to humans, people that weren't his father. He had to submit to Mary and Joseph, you know, even though he had just announced who his true father was. It says he went back to Nazareth and was, you know, obedient to them. And I was thinking about that, and, you know, that would have to be kind of hard because he would know if they were making a wrong decision. But he still had to obey them. Okay. All right. As a child, especially as a young child, he had to completely rely on other imperfect humans for everything. Just as our children do too. But in doing so, he identifies with us in this new and amazing way. And we can identify with him as well. He knows and has personally experienced the pain of our humanity. And therefore, when you come to him with your prayers and your pain, you know that he understands. He came to save. He came to save you. In Ephesians today, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our wrongdoings or our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavishly poured out upon us. You see, we were never going to get out of that muck ourselves. It was way over our heads. But it says there that he lavished gifts on us. He lavished his riches upon us. He didn't just give us barely enough to get by. No. After he pulled us out of the muck, he cleaned us off and he gently washed it all off of us. He gave us new warm clothing to wear. Put on some, gave us some hot chocolate with peppermint sticks in it, you know, and a warm fire to sit by, you know, where we'd be safe. That's what lavishing riches upon you is like, you see. He poured upon grace after grace upon us. And he continues to do that. And somebody here this morning talked about how when we receive grace, that's wonderful. When we give grace, that's wonderful as well, too. But you know what? When you give people grace, when you share with them, you actually receive it back, too. Every time I minister in his name, I'm poured out. You know, the grace just hits me. So you can't get away from it. That's lavishly poured out upon you. And that was his mission, to come here to do that. He paid the price for your muck. He saved you. Now find a tourist who'll do that. Now Jesus was no tourist on earth, was he? He wasn't just here on a recon mission. He wasn't just a prophet. He wasn't just a nice man who had lots of nice things to say. He came with this very specific purpose, and that is to save us. To save all of us. To take the fall for us. Take our place down in the muck, to show us a Father's love, a new, completely radical idea that God could be our Father, and to include us in his family. We are heirs of the kingdom. And that's why the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. See, tourists are part of life here in the mountains, aren't they? They come and they go, unless they move here. But God is ever present. He is always with us. He doesn't leave. And he saved us and made us his children. It may take a while for this local economy to recover from the lean, you know. We have to be patient. We have to wait, right? But, you know, we're kind of used to waiting, aren't we? Just as humanity had to wait for the first coming of the Messiah before they understood what Father's love was like. Before we have to wait for the second coming of Messiah as well, too. We should have gotten pretty good at waiting. But still, your song, your soul sings, my soul has a desire and longing for the courts of the Lord. I know mine does. I hope yours does too. I think that all souls have that desire. But you see, we don't want to be tourists anymore, do we? I say that meaning that we're here, but maybe we don't belong. We're like aliens in a foreign land who come to check out the place and try the cuisine. We can't get back home until he tells us. But we want a home and a place where we belong. And until then, we wait. Amen. Let us affirm our faith, Lord, in our same creed.
We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, very God. Begotten, not made, even of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, and the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was called out of the righteous birth of Christ. He suffered in the Spirit, and the very day he rose again, and formed the Holy Spirit. And in the midst of the heaven of heaven, and in the media of the right brain, the Father, and he shall come again and with the glory, and he shall have to lose his head. His kingdom shall have no end. And we believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord, for the Lord, and the Lord, and the Father, with the Father, and the Lord, together, and together, and the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord, and we believe in one Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord, and the Lord, we acknowledge the baptism for remission of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the last of the world.
Brothers and sisters, Jesus came that we may have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, with confidence, let us approach our God for our needs and the needs of others. That the church will act as the conscience of the state and oppose it whenever it governs contrary to the will of God.
Lord, we remember Jesus.
That the church will grow in unity in order that the world will know that Jesus was sent by God the Father.
Lord, we remember Jesus.
That all nations will walk in the light of Christ.
Lord, we remember Jesus.
That we will trust God and be strengthened by His grace as we face the challenges of this new year.
Lord,
that we will see Christ in others and be Christ to one another.
Lord,
that those who are sick will join their sufferings to Christ while they wait for their healing to come.
Lord, that
those who are near death will come into a relationship with the Lord before their pilgrimage on earth is ended.
Lord, we remember.
For our own special intentions.
We pray for the repose of soul of Wayne, a little grower, who died on the 6th on that.
Well, as I mentioned in the sermon, I am thankful for the anniversary of my parents' anniversary. That's repetitious. Anyway, the anniversary of my hair's wedding. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. And do pray for their safe travel back to Asheville from the faraway land of Waynesville. Thank you also for my stepmother-in-law's birthday today as well, Jenny. Mm-hmm. Very blessing on her. Also looked up for healing the many people in my circle who have COVID or other various upper respiratory things going on. And pray for the wind of your healing to be free with everyone's lungs for all of that. Oh, and while I'm up here, I'll go ahead and pray for the repose of the soul of former President Carter as well. Comfort for his family and those who loved him. And also repose of the soul for all those who died on New Year's in those attacks. Just pray for repose and for comfort for them as well.
Pray for healing for Kat in that respect. Some respiratory issues. We thank you for the healing you're doing in Jackie. And for the healing in Amanda that you accomplished. And I thank you for the life of my son. His birthday last week.
Thank you, Lord, for all the next generation of this church, Lord. I was just commenting yesterday as I was driving, being driven around by my youngest child. How my son was.
Yeah.
I was long for that, I guess.
I'm going to pray for healing for Ethan and Jody.
Yes, yes, yes.
Lord, I pray for my son traveling here from Alabama today and then traveling home to Pennsylvania Tuesday.
Travel mercy for Maria.
Lord. Mm-hmm. We hope the doctor department, we have a welcome this week, so we have two procedure rooms running Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, which we have not had for a while, so. And just pray the blessings upon the team and help us be efficient, but also excellent caregivers and Monday, Tuesday.
Do a great work for tomorrow. As you have some work done for one of my jobs on Friday. Expect it coming. That's a question.
Also lift up my kids and the other kids who are headed back to school this week. Pray for a good transition back into the routine.
We pray for healing for Ron and Wanda as well, Lord Jesus, to bless them.
I'd like to add on a comment from the sermon, but I didn't want to feel like putting out there, but God love you. Like, I'm not alone. I found a home here in your arms. So, you know, it's funny how Father Bill encourages us to go to other churches when we are on vacation, being tourists somewhere else. So even as a tourist, you can find a home right here, wherever you are.
Lord, I pray for my daughter Emily traveling from Oklahoma here this week.
I pray for Carol, who's the close roommate who lost her sister, and hopefully has returned back to Henderson yesterday. Comfort her and help her to really feel peace and love and surrounding her during all this time of loss.
Almighty God, you have been faithful to all your promises, even when we have been unfaithful. Hear the prayer and give us the grace to better understand the mystery of your love that has been demonstrated to us through Christ our Lord. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice.
How can I contain in the song the feelings of my heart? Lord, your love for me is so strong, just make a brand new start. The God